This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Horse people, this is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 29th, episode 965.
Well, I'm pulling together this new line, and I got a couple days to do it. What is today, Tuesday? Yeah.
Tuesday.
It's now the Monster Mash.
Well, welcome back to another classic Tuesday mashup, horse people. This time we feature some laugh-inducing co-host banter from the end of 2013, and Dr. Wendy Ying has a lighthearted look at fox hunting in Florida, with a sarcastic assist by Jamie. Now sit back and enjoy this previously aired masterpiece, gleaned from the Hit'em Audio Vault.
Happy Monday. I hope all of you had an incredibly happy holidays. I can't wait to hear about them and read about them and see what you guys got for Christmas. Glenn, I hope you guys had a great Christmas. Was it awesome?
Yeah, it was kind of quiet. We stayed home, and it was lovely. Got to spend time with the horses, and that was nice. It was nice to do that. Painted a couple rooms in the house, built a shed, which I have a funny story about. Yes, we'll tell you later.
That sounds good. You built the door on the opposite side or something. Yeah, yeah, I could see that. Because you guys are like big kids, you know, and you guys love Disney World, and you love doing kind of kid stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, I let the listeners in on the whole pregnancy thing, and then I had the baby, and, you know, Jennifer, sometimes I make too much information for her, and she just grows up, but I'm just going to keep you guys in the loop on what having a child is actually like. So it is 7:02 a.m. in Phoenix, and I think in the past 3 days, I've probably got about collectively 3 hours of sleep. maybe 3 hours of sleep. Because when your child decides to start getting teeth, it is probably one of the most painful things, I guess, to you and the child, because Lucas won't sleep. He just will not sleep because I counted it. He woke up on the hour every hour last night. So I have literally been up all night long. I probably got 20-minute cat naps somewhat in between, giving him medication, putting some Aura gel. But my weird-looking child right now has 4 bottom teeth and 1 top tooth, which is apparently not the way they're supposed to come in. And the 1 top tooth that's not in is trying to come in the, like, top front, you know, and it's just really painful for him. And so if I am a little crazy today, I really apologize. It's because I haven't slept in quite some time. But they say that there's a reason it comes in at this age, so they don't remember it. And maybe that's
But you
true.
Do.
Maybe
that's,
you bet your ass I'm going to remember this.
You used to pull all-nighters, but it was for much different reasons. See?
Yeah. My all-nighters were pulled for completely different reasons. And we don't need to go into those because I'm a mother now.
Well, you don't remember them anyway, so it's fine.
You make a good point. Jennifer, what's on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, our intrepid co-host will spend the last Monday of 2013 rehashing their favorite horsey moments and sharing a few of yours. Thank you for submitting. And covering some of their favorite lists of favorites for the year, and then rounding out the last Monday of this year, Horse Nation's Wacky World of Horses, brought to you by High Visibility Horse Sportswear, goes over their top hits for the year. Stay tuned for the party, folks.
Very good. I always enjoy doing this show every year. I get to spend time with Jamie and Jennifer, and it's just us, no guests, and we get to reminisce and go, where the hell did the year go? So let's start.
Well, we will
have
a guest. All right.
What's that? Oh yeah, we have We do have Horse Nation coming on. Leslie's coming on with us a little bit later. Well, let's.
Leslie, sorry, you're not a guest anymore.
Yeah, I guess. No, she's a regular.
She's family.
I don't consider her a guest. She's a regular. She's just part of the show. All right, let's do our daily winnies. This will be the last of the year. I've got two of them. The first one goes out to our listener by the name of Robert Grantham. He is apparently got married over the weekend. I saw on his Facebook.
He's off the market.
Yeah, he's not available anymore. So all you single girls out there, forget it. He got married. He posted it on Facebook. Go ahead.
He did. And you know what? I was thinking that, like, sorry, single girls who wanted a guy that loves horses.
Yeah.
Like, he loves horses himself. So, and I, last time I saw him, I was like, dude, do you have a girlfriend? Because I'll make it happen. And he was like, yes, I have a girlfriend. So, sadly, girls, he's off the market.
Robert's no longer available. He did chipe in on some of his highlights, horsey highlights for the year. So we'll hear about that a little bit later. I have a second one, Jamie.
Okay.
I wanted to give a shout out to all of our friends who will be lining the highway outside of Pasadena, California tomorrow night for the Rose Bowl Parade. It happens on Wednesday on the 1st. They'll be lining up there on the highway starting at 7 p.m. the night before. They will be all lined up with their trailers and their horses and basically sleeping on the road there that night. It's supposed to be beautiful weather. It's going to be in the low 50s in the evening and 70s and bright sunshine during the day. And we know a lot of the people who are and have had them on the show this year, a lot of the people who are going to be in that parade. So we wish them all the best of luck in front of about 50 million people worldwide. So good luck to all of them. Don't forget to tape it. If you're interested in seeing the horses in the Rose Parade, tape that on Wednesday morning. I have to set ours up. Your turn.
Well, mine has to go to my awesome husband, Chad, for several reasons. But the reason that I'm going to give him this daily winnie is because I dropped the hint and he got it. So Bit of Britain was doing this Bit of Britain.
Anytime a husband gets the hint, it's right there is a daily winnie worthy.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And this daily winnie even has audio with it, Glenn. It has audio. So Bit of Britain was doing Jimmy Wofford, let me back up, has a new book, and it's called Modern Gymnastics, Systematic Training for Jumping Horses. And to me, Jimmy Wofford is the, not to be blasphemous, but he is the Jesus of jumping, okay? If the man says do it, do it. And he's amazing, okay? His other book is, I call it my Bible. So it's the Adventurer's Bible. So he's got a new book, and my favorite thing is gymnastics, and I'm so excited to read it. It's just pictures and all this. Well, I told Chad I wanted a book called Modern Gymnastics, and he's like, why do you want a book on gymnastics?
Well, you know, maybe he was hoping you'd finally give up the horse thing and do something cheaper.
Yeah, not going to happen. It's actually, we're probably going to have to spend money in this book. So Modern Gymnastics is a book I want. Well, he goes online to Bit of Britain, and apparently Bit of Britain was doing a book signing, virtual book signing, where you can, when you buy the book from Bit of Britain, you write a message and Jimmy Wofford will write that into your book. Not only will he write it just so you don't think it's like John Nunn signing your book, who's like, you know, the owner of Bit of Britain. They actually film Jimmy Wofford writing your message and kind of saying it out loud as he's writing it. So we have the audio from Jimmy Wofford signing my book. Can you play it, Glenn?
Hi, Jamie. Best wishes and Merry Christmas. This is Jim Wofford signing your new book of Modern Gymnastics.
Woohoo! And in my book, apparently Chad wanted him to say for Jamie, best wishes and happy jumping, Jim Wofford. I love it. I'm so excited. How cool is that? It's like a video of Jimmy Wofford saying hi to me and signing my book.
I had heard they were doing this because they're an advertiser of ours over in the Eventing Radio show. So I talked to them about it and they said they were going to do this. And I just got to thinking the logistics of all of it. But apparently they got it done. You got your email. You saw the video. I mean, they got it done.
They did. It's got to be incredibly difficult, like, sitting there. And what did he do it on Christmas Eve? I mean, they were taking orders pretty much after Christmas. Did he do it all in one setting?
Did you see the number of books piled on the desk? Did you see the books piled on the desk? Lots of them.
Yes. Well, you got to get John Nunn on. I need to know the logistics of how they did it.
Well, I'll find out for you. We deal with Cassandra over there who put all this together, and okay. We'll find out from Cassandra how they did it. Yeah, it was the first time I've ever seen anything like it.
I've never seen that either, and I did think that Chad should have had him write, "Dear Jamie, stop calling me Jesus, Jimmy Wofford."
Well, that's great. I am glad it worked out. And the video was like high def. I mean, that was good.
That was really cool.
He must have felt, do you think he felt like an idiot after about the 100th one?
I think what he saw after about the 100th one, he's like, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
It's true. Hey, a programming note here before we get on with our best of, or not our best of, but our look back at 2013, some of the highlights. We will be off Tuesday and Wednesday of this week for New Year's, and back on Thursday. We will all be back here on Thursday and Friday. So it's Monday, Thursday, and Friday live this week. No show Tuesday and Wednesday. And you're going to want to come back here on Thursday because Jennifer has a very special big guest lined up. Can we announce it, Jennifer? It's confirmed, right?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us about it.
Well, as many of you may have seen on YouTube and via the press releases, the movie about Mind That Bird and his big adventure with Chip Woolley and friends to win the Kentucky Derby, the full-length feature film is now out, and it has a limited release. It's being self-released by the producers, so it's going to be hard to find, but we're going to get the inside story from the producer himself, Jim Wilson, who you may have heard from. He is the Oscar-winning producer of Dances with Wolves and others. So I'm very excited to hear about how he got involved with the project and why, and get a little bit of an inside story about how many different horses did they have to play Cigar anyway. So I'm very excited about that.
So what did...
Mind That Bird.
Yeah, Mind That Bird, you mean? Cigar?
Yes. Did I say Mind That Bird?
No, you said Cigar.
You said Cigar.
Is it supposed to be Mind That Bird?
Wow, sorry. No, Mind That Bird. Like, that's not even close. Like, I was like, are they doing another one? Because I think Cigar's movie story would be awesome. I'm like, I got excited for a second. Sorry, Jess.
Well, you must be excited. Isn't Dances with Wolves one of your favorite movies?
The first half of Dances with Wolves, yes, is one of my favorite movies. I don't watch the second half anymore. It's just too sad. I can't take it. So I watch the first half all the time. Love it.
Well, now you're going to get to talk to the producer, so that'll be fun. That'll be fun.
I
Good.
Know.
You can lead That's that awesome. One because I never saw Dances with Wolves, so you lead that interview, okay?
How dare you? I need to know. How do you know? Well, we're going to have a spoiler alert. So those of you who have not seen Dances with Wolves, like Glenn, must watch it before we get this producer on, because I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to, you know, the movie's like 20 years old. There might be a spoiler alert or two in there. So watch it now so you're not mad at me for ruining the movie. That's all I'll say.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take a look. We always start on this episode with a look back at Horses in the Morning for 2013. We produced 255 episodes. We had over 300 guests on the show. I didn't count the exact number, but I'm sure it's over 300. We average 36,700 listeners per month. That's unique, different listeners. That's up 30% from last year. So thank you to all our listeners who go out there and tell their friends about the show. That's how the show grows. We encourage you, if you can, post it on Facebook. Let people know about it. Repost our shows when they're up there and let all your horsey friends know about the show. We appreciate any help you can give us with that. And let's have it up another 30% for next year. Over 3 million downloads, Jamie. So it's quite a few.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I know the amount of bandwidth we're using now is just ridiculously insane. And why my hosting company hasn't complained, I'm not sure. We have obviously have had some terrific sponsors with us that have been steady with us since the beginning of the show. We've had some new sponsors come in. All of the different gift, you know, or the people who donate prizes, we give away more prizes than any other horse entity does, period. If I figured out, it would be in the tens of thousands of dollars, the amount of prizes we gave away this year. And nobody else is doing that. I mean, do you know anybody else that's giving away tens of thousands of dollars of prizes every year?
No, and I'm really irritated that I can't win. Because we give away such cool stuff, and we just give it away. All you have to do is call and answer a horsey question. And that's like the funnest game ever. So those of you who have participated, thank you very much. And those of you who have not told 100 friends, tell them.
Yeah, it is. We should be getting more calls for that. We get a lot every Wednesday, but we should be getting more because it's just, you know, how else can you win cool stuff just by doing nothing, basically? The last one we did, we made everybody a winner. You weren't here that day, I don't think. I think it was Wendy.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, who was with us? Was it Wendy? Wendy co-host that day? But you were out. It was Reese. That's right. Reese co-hosted that day. You were out for some reason. It was the last one we did of the year. So we just made everybody winners. We asked them the easiest questions ever and gave them about 15 chances. And then we went on. We gave away. We must have had 10 winners that day. We just kept going. We didn't have a guest at 9:30, so we just kept going. And we had a blast. It was a lot of fun.
Wow.
We gave away a lot of stuff. So that was a lot of fun.
Basically, since I wasn't there, you did not follow the rules.
Yes, that's pretty much true.
So you're basically making me the mom and you're like fun dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I got you.
And Reese is the cool sister.
Yeah, super aunt.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
You're the bitch, pretty much. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate that. Oh, thank God Jamie's not on the show. We're going to have fun today. Oh, I see how it goes.
I'm going to ask you guys, what was your horsey highlight for 2013, Jamie? What was yours?
I've had a lot of highs and lows, and I didn't quite have the year of competing that I wanted to, obviously, because I had a child, but I bought my horse, Edward, my racehorse, off the track 2 months before I got pregnant. So clearly things did not go as well, They just didn't go the direction.
Just didn't go.
I thought. They just didn't go. Exactly.
Right.
Like, I rode him throughout my pregnancy. He was, by the time I was showing, he had calmed down considerably, and I was able to ride him a little bit. But I have to say, you guys, and you know what I'm going to say, yesterday I had the best time. I took him to his first ever horse show. It took over a dang year and a couple months to get him to one, but we did our first mini trial, which is when you do all three phases of 3-day eventing in like an hour and a half. So I went in and did his first ever dressage test. Then we did his first ever show jumping and his first ever cross country. And it was so much fun. And I have to tell you, it's the first time, and you guys know the history with Jet, this is the first time I've done a horse trial, any sort of horse show in a while and not been scared to death. I actually was excited. I'm like, I don't have diarrhea, and I'm not freaking out. My stomach doesn't hurt. Like, I woke up excited, not like, oh, my God, please don't buck me off. Please don't kill me. So I wasn't that girl in the warm-up. I actually had a nice kind of – I mean, he was hyper, but it actually went really well. I was really pleased in the dressage, actually. I got probably – now, this is a schooling show. And these judges are incredibly, the judge was incredibly sweet, I'm assuming. But we actually ended up with a 32 in dressage. And
wow,
I was so far ahead of everybody. I was like in way first after, like super first after dressage. I was like 10 points ahead of everybody. It was amazing. And I got the best dressage test comments that I ever have. And I have them right here, by the way. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 8.
Wow.
First ever dressage test.
Wow.
Yeah, with him. It was awesome. 5-8. And It was just such a...
And for those that don't know, it's 1 to 10, and 10 being the best, and nobody ever gets 9s or 10s. Sometimes 9s, but very seldom. So 8s are really good.
8s are really, really good. I'm so excited. I got 8 on my position, which is like, they done who, how you ride. So I was really pleased with my dressage test. And the comments, here's the comments at the bottom. Now, he was tense. And he was a little jiggy in the walk, and he was a little spooky when he saw the judges. But again, she was super nice. And here's the comments. Never have I ever had anything like this. Lovely test and great moving horse. On the right track with training. Moments of fussy, but you're a great rider, and the confidence and development will just continue to improve.
Whoa.
What is the test? One time I got the test back with Jet, and a judge wrote on the bottom, "Your horse is a bully." So, this is a huge improvement of comments. Like, they're kind of snarky. This one was like, it was like I read it and I felt a warm embrace, like a big giant hug from this judge, and I really appreciated it. And I thought Michelle Combs needed a little whoop whoop, a little round of applause there, because she was actually really nice, and I could actually read the scribes. Writing was really fun. I did not win. I did finish. I finished. So let me start with that, because the girl who rode Edward during his pregnancy tried to go, and he wouldn't even jump the first cross country jump. So again, we get to show jumping, and what was funny is show jumping, you were warming up in the jump arena and everybody was in there, and then you had to go out and you had to go in one at a time. Well, when we went in one at a time, he was like, "Why am I leaving everybody? Why is, I don't want to go by myself." And he got a little nervous, and we had one rail.
He would prefer group show jumping. Is that what he'd prefer?
Yes.
Yes.
Group show jumping would be way better for him. He did think that it was, he jumped everything kind of sideways. And I'm sure there's not a picture on the world that I would show anybody, because it was just hideous. And then we went to cross country, and he jumped almost everything. But one of the jumps up there was this, it's like, you run up this little hill. It's called a hump jump. You run up this little hill, you jump a log, and you run down the hill. Well, he wouldn't even go up the hill. He was like, "I'm not doing it." He was so scared of it. And so I ended up having to trot circles around the hill and kind of wind him up the hill like a spiral. And then once I got him to the top, he's like, "Oh, it's a tiny little log." And he pops over the log and goes down. So we ended up getting 2 stops on that one. So our first place went to 6th place. And when I say 6th place, there were 6 people in it. We came in last. But by God, we finished. We finished. Exciting. I know. Thank you for being excited for me, Jennifer. So I have to tell you that that's my horsey highlight of the year, was finally getting the horse who has just been kind of way behind and standing around while I went and had a baby and all that stuff. And I finally got him to his first horse show, and we finished. And it can only go up from here.
Yeah, and I think that's terrific. And you waited till like the very last 3 days left in the year to have your horsey highlight. So it's sort of like you did, homework in school last minute. You know, let's just put that off to, you know, till it's due.
Got a cram.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a cram.
Well, that's great. You know, you've had such a roller coaster ride with Jet that let's hope this one's a little more less of a roller coaster ride. Let's hope it's more a flat, you know, race. That would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great. Yeah. By the way, Jet does start a new medication today. Just a Jet update. I have to go pick it up at the vet clinic, and we're just dealing with some weight issues. He won't keep weight on, and he was starved before, and we've done all these treatments and everything, and now we're starting a new one just to hopefully shore up his digestive system. So those of you who wanted an update on Jet, there you go. He's just kind of a pasture potato, and he's eating more food and getting more medicine.
Well, good luck with that. That's never fun especially when you don't know what's going on. It's just never fun. Well, Jennifer, what about you? What do you have a horsey highlight for the year?
I do, but I don't want to say it because it's yours too. Getting your pony was the horsey highlight of the year. Yay! Rescue pony.
She loves my pony too,
I think. The reason
The reason it was the horsey highlight of the year is every time you go, well, let's say 50% of the time when you go out to play with your pony, because you never know which pony's going to come out of the closet each day, it just makes your little face light up. It's so cute.
Aww.
I love that.
Obviously, that is my horsey highlight of the year, obviously, because, you know, what else would it be horsey-wise? Yeah, and he is. He's a lot of fun. And I like, you know, he's starting to get that little bit of a Hackney attitude, Jamie. So I kind of like that because I like a pony with a little bit of an attitude. Although he almost bit me the other day. You know, he almost turned around and bit me the other day. But fortunately, he didn't follow through on that. So
did you say no, pony? Don't bite me, my little pony.
I didn't because I didn't know. Jennifer said, do you realize your pony? After the fact, I had my back turned and apparently he was going to bite me in the butt. So
he knows what he likes.
He thought better of it. But I can't wait to get my cart in. You know, I hope that it's going to be in the next week or two so I can actually drive my pony. So hopefully. Can't wait. I'm just, by the way, I have some listener highlights if you want to hear them that they posted on our Facebook page of their horsey highlights for 2013. Robert, who we just talked about, just got married. He says, my horsey highlight was two parts, sad and happy. Sadly, I lost one of my senior mares, Magic Spirit. Her passing, though, opened a way for a very happy highlight, adopting Sham from MASH Horses, which you had something to do with. So that,
yeah, we played matchmaker. You know, Robert's a sucker for an Arabian. So we had a little Arabian colt that needed a home and he didn't have the stall. And once his mare passed, he thought that would be a good way to honor her was to adopt a new baby that needed a home. And he did. And they're doing great.
Yeah, I see pictures all the time and little videos of him working with him and trying to get him ready to go. So that's good.
It makes me happy.
Utup said, my horsey highlight, a ton of new horsey friends that I made through your show. Isn't that cool? Feels like an extended family. My horsey goal is perhaps adding a new horse in 2014. Make it a rescue, Utup. Make it a rescue. Happy New Year.
Well, let me tell you, I'm friends with Utup on Facebook, and I see she's not going to make it past January. Okay. She has got the horsey bug. She posts rescues. She shares cancer stuff all the time. She's constantly posting rescues. And there is just no way that this woman does not get a rescue within the first month. I mean, like if I was a betting woman, I would say January 21st. That's how long she's going to make it in 2014.
Well, good for you, Uta. I hope you do. It'll bring a lot of happiness to your life. It'll make you smile when you go outside, too. Leisha Davis said, my horsey highlight was starting to run faster on the barrel pattern and being able to run and not fall down. My goal for 2014 is to compete in jackpots and rodeos and not fall out of the saddle when my legs stop working. Well, we're hoping for that too, Leisha. That's fun.
I was praying for that on show jumping yesterday. Please don't let my legs stop working. Please.
It is, you know, when you're halfway through and your legs stop working, that's no fun. I don't know how to say his name. Modish? M-O-D-I-S-H. Modish James. My horsey is the best. He pulled through lameness with the help of UT Farrier and Vets and my local farrier. So, you know, we've all had that situation. You're going through one right now where, you know, it is the highlight of your year when your horse has something seriously wrong and you've managed to get him through it. And I remember with one of my Percherons, he had chronic abscesses, and Percherons are known for that. But he had the kind that tunnel all the way through the feet and basically make a tunnel just everywhere through the feet. And we worked on that for 6 months and, tried everything, did everything. Jennifer finally found the cure. And I remember when he pulled out of that and didn't have abscesses anymore, it was like such a big deal, you know, because we had dealt with it for so long. So that is always a big deal when that happens. Lisa, our friend out there in Norco, said, my highlight, actually going for a ride and not having to rush back home. Absolutely having no timetable. You know, when she wrote that, I thought, well, that sounds like such a little thing. But if you think about it, it's not. Because most of the time you ride, you're going, I got to be back to do this or that. You really are on a timetable. if you think about it.
Yeah, and she had some personal stuff in her life that she would have to rush back for, and she no longer has to deal with those things. Just because keep in touch every once in a while, and so she actually had some changes happen, and I would imagine that as sad as some changes can be, they can be a relief sometimes too, as far as, you know, you don't have to rush home because you've got something off of your plate, you know, like say you had to get home to take care of something constantly and then that thing wasn't there anymore. So you didn't have to rush home to do it. And so I understand where she's coming from. And it's like just a bit of a relief. And now you can go out and enjoy yourself and enjoy your horses.
By the way, you're not going to have that feeling again for about 14 to 16 years.
No, I'm screwed for the next 18 months. And that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, okay, my kid goes to college. I don't have to rush home on my trail ride anymore.
Well, you know what?
Robin Kane actually. Robin Kane posted one actually on my Facebook page too. And she said to take Fez, a Mustang she adopted from Lifesavers Wild Horse Rescue, to a higher level. He is a dynamite trail horse, but came with no understanding of flat work. And now they're bending, have light contact and a soft feel. Now she's excited about the dressage cross training. But how awesome. That's a goal, a bucket list of mine, is to get a Mustang. But good for her, Robin Kane.
Well, good for Robin. Very good. Well, there are some of them. If you want to post yours, you can post it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Coming up next, right after this commercial from Omega Alpha, we are going to be taking a look at the top earning racehorses and jockeys for the year and the most read news stories from one of our favorite news sources. Plus, we're going to talk a little bit maybe about movies and something that pisses Jamie off, TV. So we'll be right back after this.
Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
They helped me actually compete my horse yesterday. Thank God they make a product called Equine Chill. I've kind of figured it out. You really want to give it to your horse about 45 minutes to an hour before your moment that you're going to have, which my moment was needing him to be a little bit chill in the dressage test. So what I did is I actually fed him at the horse trial and I just dumped the Equine Chill in his food. It's like 30 cc's. Let's get one of those big syringes, suck it out. I put it in his feed and he gets, a mix of grain and also beet pulp. So he always eats wet food and he just ate it right up. No problem. And again, do I need to read you my comments from the dressage judge? I will. Lovely test. Great moving horse on the right track with training. Moments of fussy, but you're a great rider and confidence and development will improve. You're a great rider. That's it from a dressage person. I love it. Anyway, I may read that again a few more times in this show. But
to heck with getting a 10 on your dressage test. When somebody writes on there, you're a great rider, it just doesn't get any better.
Yeah, right. That's
it's
right.
I looked for her after. I was going to hug her, but I couldn't find her. She left. Anyway, Equine Chill is a great product. If you have a horse that's just a little tense or a horse that, you know, gets overly stressed out and you just want him to relax a little bit, you're going to go on a trail ride and you're like, you know, that first 40 minutes of your trail ride, they're jigging and, you know, then they get tired. But the first, you want to have a more relaxing time. Just give him a little equine chill. You can find that at OmegaAlphaEquine.com or what was your other website? I think we.
It is OmegaAlphaEquine.com. It's the, yep, that's it.
Okay.
Yep.
Perfect. Perfect. You can get that from them. And it's definitely, it works. It really works.
They have put out some calendars this year and they sent Jennifer and I a calendar each for our studios. So we appreciate that too. They have some calendars with different health stuff on each month. So that'll be hanging up in my office here very shortly. So thank you to everybody at Omega Alpha. All right. Why don't we do the top racehorses for the year? Because, there's a good one on the list. You want to count down from 10? Top, and this is earnings now. This is earnings. So you take
this is, it. Yeah, this is in earnings. So number 10, obviously, we don't know all of these because this is earnings in the whole world. So this is a world ranking.
Right.
And number 10 is a horse named Dank, D-A-N-K, from Great Britain, with $1.5 million. Also, number 9, an American horse, Princess of Silmar. She was actually the one that won the Breeders' Cup Fillies and Mare Turf Sprint this year. I don't know. And she won $1.5 million as well, but $1,539,000. So, I'm not good at numbers. When they get this big gun, $1,539,000. It takes me a minute to kind of process that big of a number. Number 8 was an Irish horse named Magician who won $1,650,000.
And before you go on, did you notice the Magician won one race? So he won one big race.
God. He won one big race. You're right. And now, Jennifer, you have to Google and find out what race Magician won. Because he only won once, and he ran once.
Yeah.
So it's not like he came in 10th a lot. Like, he only ran one time. That's crazy. That can't be right. Well, we'll see. Glenn, if you notice, Verrazano is number 7. That's that he won, actually, 6 times this year. Those were just not the 6 times that you picked him to win.
Right, exactly.
That's true. He ran 10 times, and the other 4 were the times that you said Verrazano
exactly.
was going to win.
Exactly.
He won $1,691,300. Man, I'm getting good at the numbers now. Number 6 coming in was Beholder. Beholder with $1,000,008. Orb, number 5. Orb, the Kentucky Derby winner, won $2,557,566. God, we're in the wrong sport. Why am I getting these things after they're retired? Number four was Game On Dude with 7 starts and 5 wins, and he won $2.5 million. Wise Dan, my horse, my future Briar horse, Wise Dan, love him. Nice, awesome chestnut gelding. 7 starts, 6 wins, 1 second place. That was by a nose, people. By a dang nose. Anyway, he won $2,751,972. So he is pretty much awesome. Number 2, Will Take Charge. Will Take Charge had 11 starts, the most starts of any horse on the top 10 list, and won 5 of those, came in second twice. Will Take Charge ended up with $2,960,977. I wonder if there's like, and 47 cents. Like, did they just take that out or did they win pennies? I don't know. And the number 1 horse, as you can guess, with 5 starts for the year, only 5 starts, one of the lowest number of starts in the entire top 10 list. Magician had 1, Dank had 2. This horse had 5, 2 wins. That's all it took. 2 wins and 2 shows. To earn $2,984,000. And that horse is, of course, ready the applause, Mucho Macho Man!
Yay!
Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Great list that you can find on the Blood Horse. Jennifer, did you come up with anything on Magician?
Well, Magician won the 2013 Breeders' Cup Turf. That explains it all.
How did Magician qualify for the race, not having run in any other races in the entire year?
Well, I think the statistics that we see only count races run in the United States or North America.
Well,
being an
sense.
Irish horse, he probably ran in Ireland, and that wouldn't show up.
Okay. See, you've got all the answers. You have all the answers.
And, you know, as far as jockeys are concerned, boy, some of these jockeys, now this is not the amount of money they earned, but the amount of money they won, they get a percentage of that. But still, it's not too bad when you take a look at the top 10. And
God, are you kidding me? They get 10% is what I believe Frankie
Yeah,
Gavada
most of
said,
it's
right?
10%. Yeah. Yep.
So I'll go through these quickly, but I'm not going to give all the numbers. I'm just going to give the first two numbers, okay? And I'll round to where they're supposed to be rounded. Junior Alvarado came in with $13 million. Luis Saez came in with $13 million. Rosie, your girlfriend.
Hey, Rosie.
Won a lot of money. Rosie Napravnik came in with $13 million. Mike Smith, $14 million. Jose Lizcano, $14 million. This is how much money is in racing? And they're shutting down tracks like Hollywood Park. These people just give 5% of their earnings and all the track would be flourishing. Irad Ortiz, $14 million. Rafael Bejarano, $15.5 million. Junior Velasquez, almost $20 million. Joel Rosario, $21 million. And Javier Castellano, $26 million. That is 20, 34, 56, 70, 80, 90, 100. That is like hundreds of millions of dollars if you do that math. But it is a lot of millions. That's a lot of millions. And this is all won this year.
And yeah, so it's $26 million. He gets $2.6 million is what Castellano took home this year. Not too bad.
1 year.
Not too bad. No.
1 year.
Is it worth the broken bones? I don't know. You'd have to weigh that yourself. But would you break it? Bones for $2.6 million?
Yeah. Which bones? We'll have to discuss.
I don't think you get that choice when you're riding. I don't think you can choose which bones.
Being an exercise rider, exercise riding is thrilling. It is thrilling. You know, you're on these horses, you're galloping them around the track. The jockeys are the ones that ride them in the races. But the exercise riders, which is what I did when I was young and stupid, it's thrilling enough. It's scary. Let's be honest. It's terrifying. And, I mean, that's what makes it thrilling, is it's terrifying and it's death-defying. But there's no way I could be a jockey. I thought about that and would throw up. Like, there's no riding one horse going that fast around the track is scary enough. These people are crazy.
Well, I have here the one of the places that we get most of our news stories from is horsetalk.co.nz. Horsetalk, it's a blog that is written and been written for years out of New Zealand. And she does a great job of covering news around the world. And we've actually had her on our shows in the past, the woman who runs this. Well, she did her top stories for 2013. I'll go over the top five here with you. Her top stories for this year, number five, was Horses Steal the Show in Lone Ranger Bloopers. You know, how long, when you think about it, did we talk about the Lone Ranger movie? Right. I mean, we talked about it coming out and we did all that publicity for it. We had people on the show. It was a huge flop. It lost money. I mean, it didn't do well at all in the box office. But, we all watched it because there were horses in it. But, horse people.
I still haven't seen it.
You still haven't seen it? Really?
I still haven't seen it. Well, I kind of had a baby like the week it came out.
Yeah, that's right. You did. And it'll be out in video here very shortly. So. You can,
well, it was out of the theater by the time I could, you know, breathe.
It didn't stay in the theater for very long. So
no.
No, didn't do well. But that was one that definitely had some cool horses in it. And it, obviously, horse people are interested. They were reading her article. Then number four was one that happened just a little bit ago that we covered here. The large woman atop the pony who sparked anger. Remember the fat woman from the Netherlands who was riding little tiny pony? And yes, caused an outrage all over the internet. Well, that one, you know, was her fourth largest. Well, there, bad pun, pun intended. Her was her fourth largest story of the year. Then the number three was the, and in a very sad story, was the tornado damage in Moore, Oklahoma, which happened this year. And that's the one where, you know, hundreds of horses perished, you know, especially from that one farm, the Orr family farm. So that happened in May, believe it or not. It's been over 7 months ago that those tornadoes happened. Number two was, and we didn't cover this one, was in Pennsylvania, where I grew up, in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, a horse pulling a buggy was shot by some people driving by. And if that was her number two story, horse pulling Amish buggy shot from passing car. It's not a story that we covered for some reason. But number
they
one,
they didn't even know that the horse was shot. That's the weird thing. They just kept driving. Like, it got shot from so far away. It wasn't like somebody drove by and blasted it.
Right.
It caught a bullet.
Right.
Crazy.
And then number one was, it's always the silly stuff. Remember we say, and, you know, we're Horse Nation's going to be on a little bit later, and I guarantee you their top 10 stories are all silly stuff. And this was one, Aussie firm creates luxury set of wheels for horses. Remember we covered the firm out of Australia that it's called Rivenly Floats, and they made the semi-trailer that was the super-duper horse trailer camper combination that cost $1.1 million to make. So that was their number one story on Horse Talk, believe it or not, for the year.
Yeah, crazy. That three-story tall, luxury, ridiculous thing that had like a dance floor on the
yes.
top. That was pretty crazy. That's right. Like the roof lifts up. And I didn't realize it cost $1.1 million to make.
Yes.
So it must sell for $4 million, you know, if it costs $1 million to make.
This had a two bedrooms, a lounge, and a kitchen area, in addition to room for 14 horses. So,
wow.
There you go. Yeah, it was quite a trailer. But that was the top stories out of Horse Talk for the year. And we'll get to more taking a look back at 2013. Maybe we'll do some non-horse stuff when we get back. But let's take a break for our song. I wanted to mention before we get into the song that Easy Signs Online has been a good sponsor here over the last couple of months. Obviously, Christmas has passed, but maybe you're looking into the new year for getting a new sign for your farm. The first place you should go is EasySignsOnline.com. They make it so simple to get on there and design your, you know, even if you have a weird, request, they'll design a sign for you. Jamie had a kind of a weird request because her name of her farm is Flyover Farm, and she wanted a horse jumping and a F-16 in there, and they accomplished that. They put a sign together that
they did it. That
incorporated both and did the artwork and everything for it. So you if you need a farm sign for this year, or if you need, they do banners. They do terrific banners. They do all the banners that we use at shows here at the Horse Radio Network. But, you know, if you submit artwork that's not quite right, they help you fix it up. They do a terrific job with all of that. It's EasySignsOnline.com. You can't beat them for customer service when you're looking for a new sign, banner, stall plate, whatever you're looking for. And they also do memorial markers as well. So that's something else to keep in mind. Well, I thought, what a song to play for our last show of the year. There'd be nothing better than one that Jamie and I can agree on. We both love Jared Rogerson with Peace, Love, and Horses. Let's take out the year with this song. We'll be back right after this.
There in that that summer dress, wildflowers in her hair. She can go anywhere on that Palomino mare. She's got Rocky Mountain ivory that she wears around her neck. And the Grateful Dead play a song in her head. Somewhere between cowboy and hippie, she's all about peace, love, horses, and me. She could end the war with just a smile. She can drive a tractor, belling hay for miles and miles. She says innocence grows right out of the ground. She believes in heaven, and what goes around comes around. Somewhere between cowboy and hippie, she's all about peace, love, horses, and me. Doing that song that he sang about two books with different covers, but the pages are the same. As certain as a river in the spring, you seal a deal with a handshake, that's her philosophy. She can rope and ride, she likes hanging out with me. She believes that love is the one thing that can change anything. And she loves me, and that's the part that gets me. She's all about peace, love, horses, and me.
Oh my gosh, I love that song, Jared Rodgerson, Peace, Love, and Horses. I did not get up and run to the restroom during that song because I love that song so much that I had to sit and listen to the entire thing. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. And had some great top 10 lists, Glenn, but I know that, you know, Leslie Wiley's going to come on and talk about the top 10 Horse Nation stories of the year. But you and I have a little disagreement that we need to go over. And
yes.
I think that your list is total C-R-A-P because it can't be right. It just can't be right.
Well, oh, I know which one you're talking about. You're talking about the top 10 primetime TV programs of 2013. Right? Is that
yep.
the list that you're just having trouble with? Well, now, there are many lists.
I'm Googling it because I don't believe you.
There are many lists when it comes to TV. There was the top 10 primetime TV programs. There's the top 10 cable TV programs. There's the top 10 fall programs, top 10 spring programs. This was took into account the entire year. So that's what that took in. But did you notice that on the top 10 list, we'll count down from the 10 to 1, Dancing with Stars, American Idol, Big Bang, American Idol, because there aren't two nights a week, NFL regular season, Dancing with the Stars, NCIS, The OT, I don't even know what that is on Fox, Sunday Night Football, and Monday, two Sunday Night Footballs there. So now, you're just mad because Big Bang Theory's on there and your show wasn't.
Well, if it takes into account the entire year, The Voice does take plenty of time off. because sometimes they're two or three nights a week. And I just find it crap that, first of all, The Voice in the ratings beat Dancing with the Stars every single time. It crushed American Idol. And I'm sorry, but The Big Bang Theory is the worst show on television. I don't understand.
Best show on TV.
The only sitcom on the entire list. It is the only sitcom on the entire list. I don't know where these Nielsen ratings people are that are turning their TV on and walking away, because there's no way anybody can sit through that every single week.
It's we do. Crazy. Every week. But we watch the reruns. Yeah. It is still the number one rated sitcom of all sitcoms, The Big Bang, after 10 years, I think. So
that's crazy. And what's so funny is it is the most polarizing show when you ask people if they like it or not. There's nobody in the world who's like, yeah, I kind of like it. They're either like, oh, my God, it's the greatest show ever in the history of television. Or they say, that's the worst show on TV. I mean, it's the worst thing I've ever seen.
And it has you have to like it. It has a serious horse girl on it, who really is a serious horse girl, Kaylee Cuoco. She's great.
She's great, and she's funny, and I like her. I don't like the freaking major main nerd guy. He's ridiculous. And the laugh track on that show.
A laugh track. I have to correct you. They have a live audience for that show.
There is no way that is just live audience. I'm sure they have a live audience. But there's no way that is just live audience. Nobody laughs that loud and that long after everybody speaks constantly. I'm just saying. Let's not get into this. It is the end of the year.
Thinking
happy thoughts.
Well, let's see if we can agree on this. All right, let's see if we can agree on this. Let's go over movies sometimes you and I agree on. Not all the time, but sometimes.
Okay.
So let's talk about the top 10 grossing movies right now. And let me go over those here with you. Number 10, World War Z, $500 million. First of all, I didn't know anybody saw it. It's a zombie movie. I'm not into zombies. So
I don't do zombies.
Yeah.
No.
Number 9, The Croods, $587 million. I didn't see that one.
Kids movie. That was the one where they were, wasn't it like... back in Neanderthal days, cartoons,
I don't know. Number 8, Thor, The Dark World. You know, we like Avenger movies, but not too much into Thor, so we didn't see that one. $627 million on that one. I didn't know you would have anything to say about Thor.
My giant pregnancy pillow is named Thor, if you recall.
Oh,
do not think that there is a man in the movies who is better looking than Thor. Except for maybe the guy in number 6. But Thor, I haven't seen number 2 yet. But number 1, I've probably watched about 150 times. Because when he's shirtless and he takes off his shirt and then he's like going around getting dressed and Natalie Portman is like unable to speak. I'm with you, girl.
Jennifer will agree with you on that. But
so,
number 7 on the list, I think you and I can both agree on a very good movie, Gravity. You did see Gravity, right?
Oh, incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
Yep. It's a good movie. $650 million. Number 6, Man of Steel. You know, I'm sick of Superman movies. Oh, just do.
I want to see it. It's got to come up on Netflix or something, because I do want to see it. It's now on. Well, we just watched it again on where you rent it from your cable company, whatever.
Yeah,
on demand. Yeah, pay per view. It's worth it. And if you get pay per view, you can pause that one screenshot that I posted on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page of the greatest moment in cinematic history, which is where he gets out of the water. And he walks around the corner without a shirt on. Again, the shirtless men are between Thor and the Man of Steel. I was happy this year in movies. Just happy.
I wasn't too sad seeing her in Gravity and her tight underwear either. I wasn't too sad about that. Number 5, Monsters University. We saw it. It was almost $750 million for Monsters University. I think the first one was better.
Wow.
I think the first one was better. Number 4, Hunger Games, Catching Fire, $771 million. Now, if you remember, right, that didn't come out too long ago, so that's probably going to over... Very good movie.
And Wendy was in it.
And Wendy was in it, and it was...
And Dr. Kyle was in it.
It hands down better than the first one. This was one where the sequel was better than the first one. So that's gonna go over $1 billion easily. Number three, Fast and Furious 6. Did you ever get into Fast and Furious movies? I just never got into them.
My brother is so into the Fast and Furious movies that he posted online, actually, I'm in line at for the midnight showing of Fast and Furious 6, and I typed into his Facebook. I was like, "You're joking, right?" And he's like, "Are you kidding me? This is a great..." So there are people that are religious about the Fast and Furious movies, and sadly, Paul Walker is no more. So that franchise may be over, but the people that like Fast and Furious are crazy about it.
Yes, they are. They definitely are. Number two, Despicable Me. Now, I don't know if you noticed on Facebook, I posted one of my Christmas gifts was a pile of Minions that are in the form of stickers that you put on your wall. Big ones. I mean, this thing's probably about 5 foot tall that I put right in my studio right in front. So I'm looking at my Minions on my wall right now. So you turned us on so to Despicable Me. You turned us on to that. We had never seen it, and you said, "You got to see it. You'll love it." And we did, and now we've seen both. I love it. Now I have Minions on my wall.
So cute. That's adorable. Yeah, Steve Carell is one of my favorites, so we went to see that in the theaters, and just awesome. And I knew as soon as I saw that, I was like, this is Glenn and Jennifer's type of movie right here. This is their movie.
And isn't it everybody's fantasy to have a bunch of Minions doing everything that we would normally do for us? Isn't that our fantasy?
They're so cute, and they're funny, and they were my favorite part.
They definitely were. They could just do the movies about Minions and forget the rest. I mean, I would go see it. Yep, definitely. And then number one movie, the one you were talking about earlier, is Iron Man 3. And by the way, they sell those big stickers of Iron Man coming through your wall, and it looks like he's crashing through the wall, and it's all broken on the edges and everything. And I'm thinking about getting Jennifer that for her studio with the great big Iron Man coming through the wall. What do you think?
Can I just give you a hint? I think she'd rather have Thor crashing through her wall, not Iron Man. Robert Downey Jr. is not nearly as sexy as the Man of Steel or Thor. I love the fact that I've seen three movies on this list. Well, four, and three of them are the superhero movies. So yes, I know what I'm into.
We agree on that. But, you know, of all the movies on that list, I think the one that should get the Oscar this year is Gravity. I just thought that was an exceptional movie. That's the one I think.
Yeah, well, these aren't like Oscar worthy except for Gravity. I mean, I do like I saw number 20, Great Gatsby, loved it. Number 11, I did see Oz the Great and Powerful, thought that was great. But these are not Oscar movies except for Gravity. And you're right, I think it should win every Academy Award. It's up against 12 Years as a Slave, though, so I think that's going to be a tough emotional pull. considering Sandra Bullock won the Oscar a couple years ago, I think, for Best Actress. But anyway, just incredible.
Can we do a special Oscar category for the hottest woman to be in tighties floating in space? Because she'd win that, hands down.
Glenn, when you go to bed at night and you lay down and you close your eyes, you go ahead and have that Academy Award presentation moment where you give it to her.
I present it to her. And the little clip comes up on the screen.
And you see her walk sauntering down to you to accept the award. Let's move on.
It's All Girls Day here on the show with Dr. Wendy Ying and Jamie Jennings hosting. So, Wendy, I have a quick question for you.
Yes?
Well, a lot of folks, you were talking about fox hunting earlier in the show. And the Hidden audience might not realize that you were an avid fox hunter before you moved to Florida. You hunted in Virginia, did you not?
I did, yeah. I actually, when I was in college, I hunted in California, in Northern California. And then when I moved to Virginia, or back east to go to vet school, and I lived on the East Coast, I hunted in North Carolina and Virginia. And it was great. I loved it. It was really fun.
So just like everything else in the horse world, even fox hunting, which is about the most traditional equestrian pursuit you can come up with beyond perhaps carriage driving, How does it differ here in Florida versus California or Virginia? Because each area of the country seems to have its own different personality. Talk a little bit about how they differ from place to place.
Well, in Virginia, it's more traditional what you'd think of for fox hunting. You know, it's kind of nice rolling fields and it's beautiful grass and there's these big jumps. So in Virginia, I'm kind of wimpy, right? So I jump, but I'm not always 100% happy about it. So I would always like, you know, follow people around. And you can't get away from jumping in Virginia. You have to jump. In Florida, we don't have that many jumps because it's more cattle farms, open cattle farms, so there's not as many fences. I'm sure where you were hunting in Massachusetts, there's much smaller fences, so you probably have a lot more jumps there, too.
Yeah.
But when you're in these big cattle farms, you might not see a jump for a long time. Like 20 minutes, you could go galloping and not see a jump. And in California, let me tell you, those coops in California, they're coops over barbed wire. And the gate is usually next door, but it's one of those Portuguese gates. Do you know what those are?
No.
It's three strands of barbed wire, and there's a board, and you have to squeeze the board together really hard to, like, get this other piece of barbed wire off to open the gate. And so it's, even if you're afraid to jump, you're like, I'm just going to jump it because I can't get that gate open, and I'll be left alone, and I'll be lost here with the coyotes.
They encourage you to jump by making the gates so difficult to navigate it's not worth the hassle.
Yeah, and then you have to get back on your horse, and there's nowhere to get back on because it's all wire.
Wow.
So just like our lift, you can't get back on again. You know, you're in big trouble.
Yeah. So in California, did you hunt fox or coyote?
We hunted mostly coyote. And I hunted with the Los Altos hounds, so shout out Los Altos people. But it was a very fun hunt, and the runs were very fast. And it was a fun time. And then in Virginia, we hunted mostly fox, and it was a little bit different because the coyotes run pretty straight, so you just go, you gallop. And in Virginia, there's more running in a circle, and you actually get to view the quarry a little bit more. Because they're going in the circle. And then here in Florida, we do mostly coyote. And in Florida, you've been out there with me at the Hunter Pace, and that's one of the farms that we hunt at, and this is a cattle farm near Tampa. And the underbrush is so thick, I've never seen any coyotes or fox that we've been chasing. Although I know we're chasing something, I just have never seen it. I never have any views because there's too many palmetto bushes. And I'm just hoping that we don't see any alligators or snakes when I'm hunting in Florida.
Yeah. How do you know that you're hunting a coyote versus a fox? Like, I mean, who tells you that? Like, the dogs are like, sorry guys, there's no fox, but we found a coyote. I mean, how does that work?
Well, you don't, like, 100% know unless you see it. But like I said, the coyotes tend to run more in a straight line, and they run faster, whereas the fox will tend to run in a circle and hide. They have a smaller territory, and they're a little bit smarter, you know, so they kind of take the hounds places that they know they can get away. So you only know that depending on how you're running. But it's a guess, you know, unless you see something.
I have such a bad joke, but it just keeps popping into my head. What does a fox say?
What does a fox say? You know what's bad is I know what a fox say. They bark.
Yeah, they do. They bark. That's why I didn't get that song either.
Yeah. They don't go ring-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding.
But that's a great video, so I can't argue with it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Carry on.
No, that's good. You know, one of the things I love about fox hunting is that actually I was telling this to Glenn the other day, is it's one of the only horsey activities that I participate in where you're going as a group, like where I'm not competing. It's just a fun group of people getting together riding. So I really enjoy that aspect of fox hunting. And also You know, we actually really love the game. We don't ever want the hounds to catch the game for the most part, because we're just doing it for fun. So many fox hunters actually feed the foxes in their neighborhoods, or, you know, take care of them, or put a little ivermectin meatballs out there so they don't get mange and ticks. So we're not bloodthirsty killers. We're just
ivermectin
out there and have a good time.
Meatballs. Really?
Yes. Well, yeah. Heartworm and fleas. Mange. It helps.
Who knew?
Yeah. So.
Interesting. Who has the best wildlife beyond the quarry that you're chasing about? Who has the best, get to see the most variety and most scary or most interesting other critters while you're out there?
Well, I would say, I guess I'd have to say Florida because, you know, a lot of times I have to close my windows just in my own backyard because it's like a, you know, wildlife park out back there. And when we were at that hunter pace, I mean, we went to clean up the course later. We saw a giant alligator, a couple snakes. You know, you could see a wild boar. There's just a lot of, it's because of the underbrush here, I think you have a lot more wild animals.
Now, we were just talking to, we just had on our show some eventers from California, who, James and Taryn Atkinson, who actually went to Africa and visited a cross-country course where loose on the course are giraffes and zebras and all sorts of African animals, mammals that are loose on the course. And
that's so great.
I mean, it was amazing. And they said the horses weren't even affected. Of course, their horses are used to it. Our horses are not. So I wonder, do like in Ocala horse trials and different horse trials like that, are there alligators on the cross-country course there? And does the water jump get infected with alligators? Like, whoa!
No, I mean, let's hope that they chase them away before the thing starts. But, you know, anytime you're riding in Florida and there's wet, foggy areas, you have to think there could be something in there.
And that about wraps it up. I'm sure folks say that about the show all the time. There could be something in there. So join us again tomorrow, live at 9 a.m. Eastern, when we will have our first ever Horses in the Morning Quilting Bee.